What's up, guys? This is Justin Coffin for the 330 Sports Show. Today is Thursday, October 7th, 2021. We're going to do our normal Thursday thoughts, four down Thursdays during football season. So today we're going to get into the Cleveland Browns and our NFL Pick'em segment and a look at the AFC North teams. That's going to be first down. Second down, we're going to go over the Ohio State Buckeyes and the NCAA schedule this weekend. That's going to be second down. Third down, we are going to go over this week's top podcast, probably about 15 minutes, but should cover a lot of good stuff. Before we move on, I want to remind you to follow us at the 330 Sports Show. It is so simple. Just follow, give us our page a like. It really helps us get information to you. My page is on Facebook. It's on Instagram. It's on Twitter. Put a lot of good content out there, sports, pop culture stuff, news and notes from local, regional to national. And we try to do a good job for you putting stuff out there. You can also follow Youngstown Studio on Facebook and YouTube. Those are our two major platforms we use. We do use Twitter as well, but our major streaming platforms are Facebook and YouTube. And you can also listen to any podcasts up to, I think over a year ago, we're nearing 600 episodes through the Youngstown Studio Network. So you can follow Apple, Spotify, or just go to our website, www.youngstownstudio.com. All right, so wanted to remind you, we did our draft that was posted yesterday to our Youngstown Studio page, our Halloween movie draft. So that is out for you to sample, for you to check out. It's a great, great list of different movies ranging from different decades to different genres of horror, or scary, or Halloween, whatever you want to say. But I think it's a really good list, especially if you're looking for stuff to watch this October and this Halloween season. All right, let's get into the Cleveland Browns. So first down is our Cleveland Browns segment, and then we're going to get into our pick'em. So here's my thoughts as we approach this weekend's game versus the Los Angeles Chargers. So the game will be October 10th, which is Sunday at 4 o'clock. It is in L.A. So my first thought is Baker Mayfield will be much better this week. That's a pretty easy statement because he couldn't be much worse than he was last week. He struggled, obviously, but I think this week he is going to rely heavily on the run game. I think they're going to use a lot of play action. They're going to boot him out of the pocket. And also, his offensive line needs to step up. I don't know Jedrick Wills' status, but he has struggled this year with an ankle injury. And I'm not sure of Chris Hubbard, his status, but whoever's in there at the left tackle position better keep Joey Bosa off of Baker Mayfield, or else it could be a long game for Baker. But I think he steps up. I think he improves from last week. And I think the Browns offense should move the ball pretty well. Him and OBJ, they really need to get on the same page. So we'll see how that all plays out on the field. But yeah, my thoughts are I think Baker gets much better this week and improves to move the ball along with the Cleveland offense. My second point, can the defense continue to dominate? Right now, the Browns are second in the league in total yards allowed this season, only trailing the Buffalo Bills. The Chargers offense has a great running game with Austin Eckler. They have a very good quarterback in Justin Herbert. They have big play receivers in Keenan Allen and Mike Williams, a big tight end in Jared Cook. And the Browns are ranked 10th against the pass this year, but they are only allowing 3.1 yards per carry on the ground this season, which is second in the league. And they're only allowing 65 yards rushing per game, which is third in the league. So the Browns' rush defense has been pretty stout. The passing defense has been much improved. The Chargers are going to look to throw the ball. So the Browns' defense, Garrett, the Malik's on the inside, Clowney, Tack McKinley, all those guys need to get after Justin Herbert, make him pressure or rush his throws. And third thought, this is a battle of the 3-1 teams in the AFC. I think the Browns, the Chargers, the Chiefs, the Ravens, and the Bills could all fight for that number one seed. The AFC is very, very good this year. And there's a lot of really, really good teams. So, you know, this game could determine, you know, down the road. It's only one game, but could determine, you know, a potential tie or whatever in the playoff standings. So this is a big game. This is a big game. The Browns, second road game in a row. The Chargers, though, are on a short week. They did play Monday night against Las Vegas. So, you know, both teams, you know, might have a little bit of less prepared time based on the Browns going west and the Chargers playing Monday night. So we'll see how that all unfolds on the field. Number four, the defense is going to see some of the best quarterbacks in the league this year. We've already played Kirk Cousins. We've already played Patrick Mahomes. We're going to see Kyler Murray pretty soon. We're going to see Lamar Jackson twice this year. Joe Burrow is improving. We're going to see him twice this year. And obviously Justin Herbert is a very, very good quarterback, up and comer. He is averaging 294 yards with 100 quarterback rating, which is excellent. He has 9 touchdowns and only 3 interceptions on the season. My fifth point is the key matchup. I think the Browns run game versus the Chargers run defense is the most important matchup of this game. The Browns obviously have Nick Chubb. They have Kareem Hunt. They have two of the best running backs in the game. They're right up there towards the top in yards per game and yards average per rush. So what I think they need to do is establish the run, you know, just wear down that Chargers defense, and then hopefully that opens up the play action in the passing game. So the Chargers run defense is allowing 139 yards a game, which is 29th in the NFL. And they're, I believe they're 10th against the pass this year. So make sure the Browns, you know, I'm not an expert by any means, but I think the Browns really need to run the ball heavily, heavily on Sunday. And then the other matchup I'm looking at this weekend is the Chargers passing game. Obviously, those weapons I mentioned, Williams, Eckler, Keenan Allen, and Justin Herbert, versus the Browns secondary and the Browns pass rush. Can the Browns pass rush get to him to disrupt him? But the Browns secondary really needs to hold up in coverage. So those are my thoughts for this week. I do, I had the Browns going 12-5 this year, so I had to look for a few losses. This is one game I unfortunately think they may drop. I have the Chargers winning 27-25. With that said, I hope I'm absolutely wrong on this, and I hope that score's flipped or even better on the Browns side, but we shall see what happens. I would be extremely happy to be wrong and for the Browns to pick up a W on Sunday. So we will see. Good luck to the Browns. I think it's going to be a great game against two of the better teams in not just the AFC, but in the NFL. Okay, here is our pick'em segment for charity. So what I did is I went through and highlighted the sort of the teams that weren't picked as much. So we have the Broncos at the Steelers. The Steelers are 2.5-point favorites. So we have Joe, Isaac, Jenny, and Ellie picking the Broncos. 6 people on the Steelers laying the 2.5. The Colts at the Ravens. The Ravens are a 7.5-point favorite. The only person is Jeremy taking the Colts. He thinks we'll cover that spread. So Baltimore laying 7.5 points. That's a lot of points. Colts do have a good roster, but they have really, really struggled this year. The Packers are 3.5-point favorites on the road at Cincinnati. However, Isaac is the only person who thinks the Bengals will cover that spread out of the 10 of us. And then we have the Browns and the Chargers. I think this game has moved to the Browns might be slightly favored. It's kind of gone back and forth. But on Tuesday, when I checked and submitted the lines, it was a pick 'em. So right now, 4 of us have the Chargers. That is me, Lisa, Jeremy, and Ben. So that game's a pick 'em. So it's basically whoever wins, wins the spread there. And then finally, the Bills and the Chiefs. The Bills are coming off 2 back-to-back shutouts. The Chiefs are 2-2, but you know, we all know the Chiefs are a great team. Only four people taking the Chiefs this week who are laying 2.5 points. That's Joe, Luke, Jeremy, and Jenny. So those four are on the Chiefs. The rest of us are on the Bills. We shall see how that all unfolds, but that is our pick 'em for week 5 of the NFL. I want to give a quick reminder to some of our donors and some of our players. So obviously my show, the 330 Sports Show, Ellie Platt and Platt Insurance, Lisa Resnick, Home and Hops, Joe Danier with Youngstown Studio, Jeremy and Grace from Youngstown Pizza Reviews, the MLO Bros, Isaac and Luke. We have Ben Figley from NEO Flag Football. We have Jenny Kennedy, who is the founder of Project MKC. And then Coach Fischel over at South Range has said he'd like to donate to our whichever charity wins. So just wanted to give the South Range girls basketball team a quick shout out there. Here's who we are playing for. We're playing for the Trumbull County Farm Bureau, Rosalie's Forever Footprints, the Youngstown Pizza Project, Akron Children's Hospital, Project MKC, Animal Charity of Ohio, Oh Wow, the Melina Enfield Foundation, the Melina Michelle Enfield Foundation, the Rotary Foundation of Canfield, and the 5K for JK, raising awareness for Parkinson's disease. Those are our charities, and whoever wins will get the sum total of the money. But we hope to raise awareness for each of these foundations as the season goes on. All right, let's move on to the Ohio State Buckeyes. Okay, let's take a look, 48-hour look ahead for the Ohio State Buckeyes. They will be playing this Saturday, October 9th at noon on Fox in Columbus at the Horseshoe. So here are my thoughts going into that game. So in this game, you have two quarterbacks trending in complete opposite directions. You have C.J. Stroud, who was kind of, you know, much maligned at the beginning of the season. A lot of fans were on him, critiquing him, saying, what's wrong with this guy? I mean, he's one of the better quarterbacks based on stats in the entire country. His will be starting his fourth game only in his college career. But last week, he had 330 yards passing, 5 touchdowns versus a pretty good Rutgers defense. And then Tagovailoa for Maryland last week in the opposite direction, 157 yards, 5 picks versus the Iowa Hawkeyes, who have a great defense. Don't get me wrong on that. But he started this season very hot. A lot of people, so that's why I'm saying him and C.J. Stroud kind of going in opposite directions. So we will see how that quarterback battle plays out. I like Stroud in this one, and I think he's going to have another big game. So talking about him, moving on to the OSU offense, they are an absolute record-setting pace this season. They're averaging 8.57 yards a play, which is 553 yards a game. The 553 yards a game is second nationally. However, the 8.57 yards per play is by far the number one team in the country with that, you know, that play, taking into account every single play during the game. Moving on, Chris Olave, the best ever to wear the scarlet and gray at wide receiver, we shall see. That's up for debate. You know, a lot of people like David Boston, a lot of people like Chris Carter, Michael Jenkins, whoever your list might include. Chris Olave, I think you have to put right up there right now. Now, he has 7 or 8 games or 9 games or possibly 10 games, depending on if we're able to make the playoffs. But right now for his career, he has 134 receptions, which is 9th overall in Ohio State history. 2,149 receiving yards, which again is 9th overall. He has 27 touchdowns, which is 3rd overall. So the receiving records at Ohio State are 201 receptions. I don't think he's going to get to that. Receiving yards, though, I think that's very much in reach. 2,898 yards. He's about 700 or 800 away. And then receiving touchdowns, he's only 7 behind the number one spot, which is held by David Boston. So I think he's going to be able to get there. But again, we'll see. The Buckeyes have so many weapons, and they're going to be able to do so many things on offense. But Chris Olave is a huge, huge part of that. Okay, now switching to the defensive side of the ball. The defense last week played extremely aggressive, got after the Rutgers quarterback, and they did the same thing against Akron last week. So I think this defensive unit is much improved. They've switched play calling duties over to Matt Barnes from Kerry Combs. Both sort of feel, I don't know, they're sort of feeling it out with rotations and things like that. But if, it kind of feels like they are getting to that point where everybody kind of knows their role and starting to feel their way out. So with Garrett there in the middle, he is a defensive, you know, juggernaut there at defensive tackle. JT Tulumolo on the edge. Steel Chambers has really stepped up at the linebacker position. Ronnie Hickman has become one of the most improved players in the Buckeyes secondary. He's playing that bullet position, which is kind of a hybrid linebacker safety. You got Cody Simon. Denzel Burke has been an absolute stud for Ohio State, one of the best corners in the country. He is only a true freshman and barely even played corner in his career. And, you know, you got Tyleek Williams, who's a freshman. You have Cam Martinez. You got just so many other guys. Jack Sawyer is a young guy that's, you know, making some plays. So Ohio State has a lot of really, really good players on the defensive ball. It's just defensive side of the ball. It's just a matter of those guys stepping up and making plays. Just our did you know for the week, Ohio State holds a 6-0 advantage in the series history. They did not play last year because of COVID. That game got canceled. But the last matchup in 2019, if you'll remember, and that was a great Ohio State team. Ohio State won 73-14, and Ryan Day did not take his foot off the gas because the Maryland coach had put out some rumors there about Chase Young possibly getting some money from a booster, and that got Chase Young suspended for 2 games. And Ryan Day made sure the Maryland team knew that he was not happy about their actions. So my prediction for this week is Ohio State 48, Maryland 21. I think they cover the spread. Spread is right around that 3-touchdown mark, but give me the Buckeyes 48-21. And I think it could even be worse than that, but Maryland does have a pretty, pretty good offense, especially in the passing game. They are missing one of their top receivers, but there's a guy named Jarrett that will be on the outside, and the Buckeyes, if they can shut him down, I think they shut the Maryland offense down. So give me the Buckeyes 48-21 over the Maryland Terrapins this weekend. Okay, moving on to this week's biggest games. Tonight, we got a matchup with Coastal Carolina, who has looked excellent this year at Arkansas State. Arkansas State, I'm still waiting for your punter to get back to me for an NIL deal. We'll hook you up. You know, just give us a call at Youngstown Studio, 330-595-1600. Friday, we have the Cincinnati Bearcats coming off that big, big win in South Bend against the Fighting Irish. They're going to take on Temple, and they're just going to blow their doors off. We also have Stanford, who just upset Oregon at Arizona State. On Saturday, we got the Red River Rivalry. Did I say that right? Red River Rivalry, the 3 R's there. Oklahoma and Texas. I actually like Texas to upset Oklahoma in this game. We'll see how that goes. I mentioned Maryland at Ohio State. You have another ranked versus ranked, Arkansas versus Ole Miss in an SEC West matchup. You have Georgia and Auburn, another ranked versus ranked SEC. Maybe the game of the year so far, you got Penn State and Iowa. That is going to be a very, very good matchup. I like Iowa to win that game, but I think it's going to be very close, and I think it's going to be low scoring. And then if you looked at the schedule at the beginning of the year, you would have looked at October 9th and said, hey, Alabama at Texas A&M, that's going to be a great game. Alabama has looked the part. Texas A&M has not. They've lost 2 in a row, looks like 3 in a row, as the mighty Crimson Tide, excuse me, come to town to College Station. So I like Alabama to win this game, but it'd be kind of cool to see Texas A&M put up some sort of fight, as their season is in shambles right now. And some notable local games. We got Missouri State coming to Youngstown in the Ice Castle. We got Mount Union taking on Wilmington. Buffalo is at Kent State, and Akron is at Bowling Green. So those are the matchups for this weekend. Now let's move on to our high school talk with Steve Leslie. This is our third down segment. So Steve Leslie is kind enough to either join me on a Zoom call or share out his thoughts each week on, you know, with me so I can share them out to our audience. So again, you can watch Steve's best matchups of the week. There has been a few games, unfortunately, canceled due to COVID protocols, but you know, this week, a few good matchups here. We got 5-1 Brookfield at LeBray. We got Western Reserve at Springfield, Southern Local at Valley Christian, 4-1 St. Joe's at 4-2 Ursuline. Unfortunately, Boardman had to cancel, and that was going to be Boardman versus Ursuline, which would have been a nice matchup. You got 3-3 Niles traveling to Struthers, who's 4-3. You got 6-1 Salem traveling to Carrollton, who is 5-2. So those are Steve's best matchups of the week. You can find all those on ysnlive.com. The undefeated teams through week 7. So these teams are all 7-0. You got the Garrettsville Garfield G-Men. You got the South Range Raiders. You got the West Branch Warriors. And you got the Hubbard Eagles. Those have been, I think, for the last 3 weeks, our 4 undefeated teams in our Mahoning Valley. And they continue to, you know, carry the banner for the undefeated teams in our area. And then Steve's week 7 best individual performances. You got Billy Skirpak of South Range, who is 8-10 for 159 yards and 3 touchdowns. David Altier of Western Reserve, who had 37 carries for that's amazing, 264 yards and 2 touchdowns. You have Brock Lowry of Canfield. He's made our list several times. He had 162 rushing yards and 138 passing yards, so like all-purpose quarterback there. You got Dom Parker of Poland, who had 122 yards on the ground, 3 touchdowns. You got Zaire Rogers of Cardinal Mooney, who led them to a win over Howland last week, 71 yards and 2 touchdowns. And then, you know, probably the absolute biggest stud in our area right now is T.C. Caffey of Hubbard. Last week, listen to these numbers, 19 carries for 294 yards and 4 touchdowns. This season, T.C. Caffey has 1,817 yards rushing and 27 touchdowns. So hats off to T.C. Caffey and the Hubbard Eagles. That kid is absolutely lighting it up. Good luck to all the Valley teams this week in their Week 8 games. Just a couple weeks until the high school playoffs. So we're really coming down the stretch here fast. All right, moving on. We're going to go on to our fourth down Thursday thoughts. So first of all, the Super Bowl halftime show was announced. It will be Mary J. Blige, Kendrick Lamar, Eminem, Dr. Dre, and Snoop. Should be a very good halftime show. So, you know, a lot of if you grew up in the 90s, like I did, I think that's going to be a pretty cool show to watch. And, you know, they always kind of like sprinkle in a few extra random singers, musicians, artists, whatever you want to say in there. So I think that should be a pretty cool show. This is a really quick Kevin Stefanski appreciation tweet. Adam the Bull from 92.3 The Fan put this tweet out, and I saw it and I had to share it. So Hugh Jackson, Freddie Kitchens, Rob Chuzinski and Pat Shurmur coached the Browns for 104 total games, and they won 22 games total. Kevin Stefanski has coached 22 Browns games, and he's already won 15 of those. So just an appreciation tweet for Kevin Stefanski and just the success he has brought to the Cleveland Browns organization. We are basically, now the NFL has added a 17th game. So, you know, every 4 games you could kind of call a quarter of the season before. So we're going to basically call this the quarter waypoint of the season. You know, so I guess technically you can say the first quarter of game 5 would be the quarter point exactly. But the receiving leaders right now, Deebo Samuel with 490 yards. Then you got Tyreek Hill, Cooper Kupp, DJ Moore, Devontae Adams, Brandon Cooks, Terry McLaurin, Justin Jefferson, Tyler Lockett, and Marquise Brown are the receiving leaders this year. The passing leaders, big surprise here, Derek Carr, almost 1,400 yards passing. Tom Brady, Kyler Murray, Matt Stafford, Patrick Mahomes are the top five. And some familiar names and some non-familiar names in there. Sam Darnold is up there. Daniel Jones, Justin Herbert is an up-and-comer. Jalen Hurts and Kirk Cousins. So a few of those names should be up there, but a few of those names are pretty surprising. And then the rushing leader, I think no surprise, is Derrick Henry. He basically carries the load for the Tennessee Titans. Nick Chubb, who splits a lot of carries with Kareem Hunt, is in second place right now with 362. You got Joe Mixon of the Bengals, Zeke Elliott, David Montgomery, Alvin Kamara, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Austin Eckler, Lamar Jackson, who is a quarterback at ninth, and then Jonathan Taylor sitting at 10. So those are your receiving, passing, and rushing leaders through the quarter of the season. I want to remind you real quick of my baseball picks. So far, 2 for 2 on my wild card picks. I had Boston beating New York, and I had LA, who just narrowly escaped the St. Louis Cardinals, winning in the bottom of the ninth last night. So you got Boston taking on Tampa. I have Tampa beating Boston, and you have LA taking on San Francisco. I think LA beats San Francisco, but I'm very hesitant about that. I do think whoever wins that series wins the World Series. So San Francisco, LA should be a great, great matchup. In the rest of the American League, I have the White Sox over Houston, and then I have Tampa over the White Sox. And then I have Milwaukee beating Atlanta, and then the Dodgers over the Brewers, and then again, the Dodgers over Tampa Bay. But if San Francisco wins, then I basically am just putting San Francisco in the Dodgers' place, because I think those are the best two teams in baseball right now. And, it should be a good playoff series, but I think the National League West will determine the World Series champ. All right. And then some random Thursday thoughts. Leaf peeping. Did you know this was an actual thing? I had no idea. I just heard it this weekend. But apparently when people going out and check leaves, it's called leaf peeping. So you can put that in your vernacular and vocabulary, write it down, whatever you got to do. But leaf peeping. Yep, that's a thing. And then never forget. Y'all used to laugh at Pee Wee Herman's suit, but now your sons are wearing it to prom. So basically every prom picture I have seen this year has been taking a look, kids looking like Pee Wee Herman with their suits, like the real short pants. I've even seen a lot of like mock turtlenecks and stuff, which is kind of funny. But, I guess I'm not necessarily making fun of it because it's the style, but it's funny that that's something that used to get made fun of. Now it is the absolute trend right now. So just wanted to wish everyone a great weekend. We will see you next week. And go Browns, go Buckeyes.
Thank you for listening to this show on Youngstown Studio. If you like our programming, we invite you to subscribe to our YouTube channel, follow our Facebook page, or subscribe to your favorite podcast platform like iTunes or Spotify. This is original Youngstown content, and we would appreciate you sharing the videos and the word about us. Thank you.